really lovely to spend time with you this morning. And just to let you know, this is not a preach. This is sharing with you what I have been through and how God led me to the place I am now. Actually, it feels like a retreat. Shh, don't tell them. I feel like, I'm not being cold. I'm not providing meals or being stern. So let's go. Let's do this. Right. My name is Dedo, mother of four wonderful daughters, and I'm Nana to two delightful granddaughters. So I'm from the girl tribe. I just want to share my walk from being a guilt-ridden, having difficulty in accepting pardon and forgiveness from God, and to finally accepting grace from our merciful God. I grew up in Ghana, and my darling mama was a Presbyterian. I'll say no more. And my father was Catholic. So both of them were very, very deep in the whole I'm not worthy, let me do daily penance, in deep reverence. And I think at the time they both lived under law and not grace. Thank God for Jesus. Because both parents became born again when I was much older. Don't get me wrong. They were loving and generous, but incredibly religious. And most people of their age were taught by missionaries who had come to change the savages' way and everything. So it was law to get them to, what's the right word? To conform. So that's what they knew. They didn't know otherwise. They knew the Bible, they knew all the scripture, but they actually did not bask in God's love. They knew he was wonderful, they revered him, but they didn't see the softness, the motherness of motherhood of who God was. So I grew up being reminded of wrongdoings weeks and weeks, sometimes months, after I had been told I'd been forgiven. So I carried this rucksack with all my wrongdoings. At age 13 in boarding school, I gave up going, I'm not worthy, when I went to the Catholic Church. So I became full Protestant, not half Catholic and half Protestant. Because deep inside, I thought, I believed I was worthy. I was absolutely convinced God was sitting there waiting to punish me for whatever wrongs I did. So I think that made me quite rebellious when I realized I couldn't just live up to, his standard. And so it was, for me at the time, so liberating when I came across Buddhism, which preached cause and effect and gave me power to control my destiny. At the time, that's what I thought. So I became a Buddhist. No guilt trip. I did what I wanted to do, and I knew cause and effect sometime along the line, whatever punishment I got would be because of my own choices. It also sounded so perfect, so I really turned my back on Christ and became a full-blown Buddhist, leading a group of young women in West London. Had nothing at all to do with Jesus. Fast forward 5 years later, I encountered our risen Christ in a dramatic way, and he freely forgave me and embraced me. For those of you who, I don't know if everybody here is a Christian, I beg your pardon, I'm not going to try and bombard you with scriptures and stuff, but if there's anything that you don't quite get, just put your hand up, lacking skill, then I'll sort of soften it a bit. And when I met Christ, I unfortunately, even though I threw myself in my newfound relationship, and it was beautiful, I didn't fully believe I had been forgiven. I struggled, and I tried to please God in any way that I could, because I had grown up under law. I had accepted Christ, but I still carried my rucksack filled with my wrongdoings. I went through self-flagellation, forever turning my back on him, forever. And every time anything went wrong or I had any difficulties, I blamed it on my mistakes. I called it karma. God was having his own back at me. So as much as I was enjoying the grace of salvation and the wonderful things God had for me, and I believed, I was this Christian carrying this guilt. Fortunately for me, whilst I was busy practicing Buddhism, my mother went from being a religious woman to becoming born again. And she embarked on a lifelong changing journey. And forgiveness was big in her ministry. So she gently, in her own way, led me to a place where I could begin to feel slightly deserving of God's forgiveness. But I still had a lot of guilt. I still wasn't sure. And I, looking back now, I wasn't very forgiving either, because that's what it was. That's what I knew. And I must have held quite a few people in captive because I was upset with them. But I realized that I held my ex-husband captive more than anybody else. And the funny thing was, it was because of my pretty tricky marriage that I went looking for Jesus in the first place. So I should have really forgiven him, because without him, I probably wouldn't have hurried to find Jesus. Anyway, I held him in captivity for so long that I found myself in the same prison. So I wasn't forgiving myself, and I wasn't forgiving him. And I found myself really struggling to let go. I again saw that terrible marriage as punishment for having been a Buddhist at some point and turning my back on God. But fortunately, I got close to a very wise old man who loved Jesus, and he became my mentor. And one day he said to me, "Dedo, why are you denying God is merciful and all loving?" And I thought, "No, I think he is." He says, "No, I don't think you do. Why won't you accept the gift of forgiveness?" he said. And something broke inside me. So I broke down in floods of tears. And I said, "I didn't know. I didn't know how else to live." So I sobbed and I sobbed. And when I finished sobbing, he gave me his Bible. He'd opened it to Isaiah 54. I won't read it all out to you now, but it will come up a little bit later. And when I read, as I was reading, come the third or fourth verse, I was awashed with tears. Is someone going to find me Isaiah 54, please? I found it. Thank you. Just bear with me, please. I just sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. It started with, "Sing, barren woman, you who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. You who have never been in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than that of the one who has a husband." mind, my marriage was breaking, and things were really bad. And then he goes to say, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. I'll continue later. And by the end of reading the whole chapter, I'd met this God, this different God. And I felt forgiveness. And in the whole chapter, forgiveness is not mentioned, not once. But all the promises, all the things he was saying to me and describing who I was, because for me, that chapter is my life, because every single thing there has happened to me. I just thought, he must mean it. So I began to see a glimpse of hope of me being forgiven. And on that day, Papa, as I call this man, told me that the time that it's time for me to forgive myself, and that forgiving myself was essential to my spiritual growth and kingdom work. And I wouldn't be much use if I hadn't forgiven myself, because then I couldn't share this all-forgiving God with others. So I fasted and I prayed. I was very holy like that. I fasted and I prayed and I read the Bible, and I was praying for a deeper understanding of God. And I was hoping he would speak in a loud voice to me or something. But instead, after a week of fasting, the heavens didn't open, nothing happened. But one verse, which I had known all my life, came alive. And it was John chapter 3, verse 16. And it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. This is one of the most known verses in scripture, but it just blew me. Because he died. He came and died. He gave his own Son for me. And it was so direct. It was so for me. And that was the day I began to truly believe in forgiveness. I think sometimes we don't forgive ourselves because we feel it's self-indulgent. Or we feel we have to be very vigilant, you know, we have to be in constant remembrance of the things we did wrong, just in case we forget and repeat it. And how tiring that is. You know, how can we constantly live like that? And this becomes a tedious, lifelong penance. And scripture tells us that we're not saved by works. We can't do it in our own strength, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the Bible, forgiving oneself is not specifically mentioned anywhere in the scripture. It talks about others, but not us. But in Jeremiah 31 verse 34, it says, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord, I will forgive their wickedness and I will remember their sins no more. All of us. Everyone. And we all have the choice to believe it. Because God chooses not to bring up our sins to throw in our faces like our human parents, spouses, or even children. Stop smiling. Or children throw back at us. He says he will not bring it back. He would not throw it back in our faces. He is fair, this God of ours, and he loves us all equally. And he forgives us all of us. In Acts 10:34, it says, Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. He doesn't favor me over Lizzie or Carol over Jane or the homeless man sitting in front of Tesco or even Trump. Sorry, that was a dig. He loves us all and he forgives us all. We have to realize that forgiving ourselves is not exonerating ourselves, because the fact is there's always a consequence to what we do wrong. But he gives us a grace. Because of his grace and his mercy, we're not consumed. It is simply letting go of what we're holding against ourselves so that we can move forward with God. Because there's so much he has for us. But when we're busy holding onto guilt, then we stumble because we have a large bag and we don't have enough space to receive the grace. That's what I found. And also, to continue holding on to the past mistakes actually opposes God's word. It opposes how God wants us to live. Because, again, sorry, I'm going to quote scripture again. Bear with me. In Philippians 4, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Where is room to think about such things when we're battling with unforgiveness of self and others? Personally, having come to a place of forgiving me, I had to work on forgiving others. I watched my mother forgive many people, I thought, too easily and too quickly. There were times when I thought she was a bit gullible. But at the same time, I longed to be like her. And one day I remember someone who had really done something pretty hurtful was allowed back into our home. And so I said, look, Mama, you know, yes, I understand the whole forgiveness things, but, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. Yeah, you're forgiving them, yes, but why are you letting them back? They will steal from us and they will do terrible things. And she smiled very sweetly. My mother was a very sweet woman. And then she said, oh, Dedo, don't you get it? And I said, no, get what? And she said, can I imagine God forgiving me, but not wanting to have anything to do with me? And it hit me. It just hit me there. It hit me so hard, I had to stop and reflect on what she said. And then she said, it's my business. It's my forgiveness to give. What has it got to do with you? And it's true. Because many a times, we hold people in unforgiveness for something they've done, not to us, but to somebody else. So I get cross with the people who were mean to my children, and I'm a bit cross, and I have to remind myself. But sometimes we even take it further. We have people in church, and we vilify them. We're cross with them because they upset someone else. They cheated on their wives or cheated on their husbands or caused trouble in somebody's home. It's not our forgiveness. It's not against us. holding them in judgment. I did that so many times, and I still have to pinch myself. I have to confess daily, because it's so easy for us to do. So my mother then sung, I remember it so well. She sang Amazing Grace. My mother could sing, not like me. I think Helena took my mother's voice. She sung Amazing Grace, and I listened to the words. And I listened to the words, and she told me about who wrote Amazing Grace. And I felt humbled. And she had a way of saying these things to you without making you feel small. Because this is my new mama who had met Jesus. And she was so Christ-like like that. And I thought about it and thought, and indeed, it would be devastating if God forgave me daily, but didn't have a relationship with me. But I also know that we're human, and we're not able to do a lot of things in our own strength. Dear Jane sent me a link, and I read, and Pope John Paul had said, I'm going to quote straight from him. He said, forgiving others requires help from the Holy Spirit. Forgiving people who have offended us is not at all easy. He added, so people must pray to the Lord to teach us to forgive as he has forgiven us. Human strength is not enough to be able to forgive. In our own self, it's tough, it's very difficult. He said, it requires the grace from the Holy Spirit. So I sound very smug standing here talking about forgiveness, but I battle with it still. But I also know that the Holy Spirit equips me and helps me when I ask for him to help me to forgive. Papa, this wonderful old man, simply said to me one day, when I asked for advice on forgiving my ex-husband and his family, because boy, did I loathe them. I did. It was self-consuming. Self-consuming. Bear with me. I'm not English. It was awful. And, he said, ask God to help you as you were only, and tell him. Even if you don't feel like it, so tell God you are doing it in obedience to his word. And because in the Bible, he says we should forget 70 times 7, not in our lives, daily. Maybe the same person. So I started doing that. And he said, be honest with God. Bear your heart to him and he will forgive you and help you to forgive others. And he promised me that in time, my desire to forgive will be effortless with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because as you practice, put it in practice, it becomes a way of life. And I thought, not sure. He says, if you're following Jesus' footsteps and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will. Trust me, I didn't think I was capable of doing that. But I have had to let go of some pretty difficult things. Not because I'm this wonderful holy dodo, but because I serve a living God and the Holy Spirit is real and is present and is willing to help. And when I have called, he has helped. Some years ago, I felt so let down and almost betrayed by my darling husband, Chris. Not because he was going out with anyone, but because he accepted another posting to post-war Sierra Leone. This was a time when they had just come out of war. Their army were wearing flip-flops and canvas, and they looked like bandits. And I was supposed to take my wonderful children to go and live there. And he had promised me that no more posting. Of all the places, not to New York, not to Paris, not to, you know, Sierra Leone. I was devastated. I was angry and I was let down. And he had to go ahead for a bit before we followed. And for a while, I felt there were three of us in our marriage. There was the Foreign Office, there was Chris, and I, in that order. I remember sitting in Liz Robson's consulting room, sobbing my eyes out. And I said to Liz, I didn't want to go to Sierra Leone. My children are young. And she, in her wonderful, gentle way, sat back and allowed me to cry. And when I finished, she passed me tissues. And of course, she's a GP. She's not allowed to talk about God to me there. So she said very gently, you know who you believe in and he will not let you down. And I sobbed some more. And I took Liz's words, very simple words. I took those words with me, packed my bags, got on the plane and got to Sierra Leone in the middle of the monsoon rains. And it lasts for 5 months. To put it mildly, I almost loathed Chris. It was a terrible time. I didn't know if our marriage was going to survive. I sat in Chris Wicks's living room. I still remember that day when I see the sofas. And the two of us sat on the floor. We were both crying. But the man wasn't going to give up his job. And we were going to go. Anyway, it was terrible. It was a bad time. And I did the best I could, living as a diplomat's wife in a place I didn't want to be. And I think it started telling on our marriage. And things went good. And I resented him. I resented him because he got up, met Tony Blair, met all sorts of people, writing papers for post-conflict countries. And I just took my children to the beach. And come 11 o'clock, I'd planned supper. And was entertaining people. I wasn't that kind of chick. I wasn't that kind of all frocked up, bedecked. I wasn't that kind of wife, but that's what I became. And I began to loathe Christopher. And it wasn't nice. I was resentful. And unforgiveness started creeping in. And I kept started throwing things at him. And we will squabble in the car to church. And we'll park the car. And hand in hand, Chris and Daddy Rump coming in. And I put my hands in worship. And it was so false. Because there was something between Chris and I. It wasn't the Foreign Office. It was unforgiveness. I was let down. I realized I had to forgive him, but I didn't know how. Fortunately, I found yet another old man who was a wonderful Christian. And he counseled me and took me through something called Theosophic Counseling and gave me a book. It was called Marriage Masala. So I ordered about a dozen from Carol and Chris to take to Sierra Leone. Even though there was no physical cheating or anything, I had been let down. And it addressed unforgiveness and all the whole marriage thing. Anyway, to cut a long story short, this darling old man said to me, how often do you say the Lord's Prayer? And how often do you say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? And again, it hit me in my tummy. I had to wake up and ask the Holy Spirit again to help me to forgive Chris for putting the Foreign Office before my children and I. In a country where it rained, sheets of rain, and even the satellite television didn't work. They had read every book in the house, and what I should have done was written a book. Anyway, so he did. And I forgave my husband, and thank God for that, because unbeknown to me, I only had 5 more years with him. If I hadn't and held on to it, if I had left him, he still would have gone when he did, but this unforgiveness would have stayed with us. Thank you, Liz. Nikki Gumbel simply put it out the other day. I was going through the Bible in 1 year, and he said, the first to forgive is the happiest. but it always takes courage to forget. But when you do, you find it restores relationships and brings great joy. It is said that the first to apologize is the bravest. When I lost Christopher, the old enemy of self-doubt started creeping in, and I began to wonder if it was another of my punishments from God for past wrongs, especially for turning my back on Christ, on God. Fortunately, we have a good Father, a God, and His Holy Spirit, and our Lord Jesus, who dispel the doubts when you call out to them. And I did. I literally had to address the Trinity by name, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and continually say the Apostles' Creed and say, please help, because I could see that doubt was coming to take over. And He did. And He told me that it wasn't punishment, that I had been forgiven, that it was His time. I'm going to conclude. God is good, and He always hears us when we're honest with Him and ask for forgiveness, or ask Him to help us to forgive, not because we want to forgive, but we want to forgive in obedience to His word. He will. How will He not? He is God, and He doesn't lie, and His word does not return void. He has said in so many scriptures that He forgives us. He will call us back. He brings us back to Himself. He gave Himself up for us. Why would we hold on to that unforgiveness? It's time to put that rucksack back. I did. And if there's anyone here who has still got that rucksack, please leave it at the door. Give your back a break. Give it to Him. He says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He will. That annoying mother-in-law or father-in-law, and that not very kind sister-in-law, or difficult husband, or children. And we're all fortunate. Most of us have children. I think the quickest way to learn to forgive is to have children, but because, boy, they do test you. And they will test you. And it got to a point in my home that the day that my children have been particularly beastly will be the day that I'll go to their rooms and make their bed and cook a nice meal and be kind to them so that I will not hold them in anger. Recently, I went for a walk with my dog, Jethro. Now, Jethro is a cross between a gazelle, a tiger, or whatever, and he's a real pickle, totally disobedient. He saw another dog from behind, and being the escape artist that he is, he managed to slip out of his harness, and it's a proper harness for a lurcher. He stepped back into the road, and he was hit, and it was not nice. And it was terrible. Thankfully, it was during the rush hour, so the car wasn't speeding much, but he was seriously injured. It threw him up, and he, you know, I'm not going to go into gory details. And as he was, when I noticed he'd got out of the harness, I thought, you naughty boy. And then bang! And I stopped. And I thought, oh no. And you know, because I don't know adrenaline, I don't know what happened, but Jethro was able to leap. And he came straight to me, and I crouched, and I held him. And as I held him, crying, with blood everywhere, I just saw God and I. All I saw was God and I. The amount of times I wrong him, and I go running back, and he scoops me. If I, a human being like I am, a mere common mortal, I've never created anyone. If I can forgive my pickle Jethro, and all I wanted to do was to make him better, and I just sat there holding him, I forgot instantly that he had been disobedient and had walked into the road. I didn't think it serves you right. If I can do it, how much more God? That was a really palpable, in-your-face example of how God forgives us. There are many times we go our own way, and there are many times we get hit, and there are endless times we can go running back into our Father's arms. Are you having trouble forgiving yourself or someone? Please take it to God in prayer, and the Holy Spirit will enable you to, without you even knowing how, to forgive. It's tough. I'm not saying it's not tough. It's a tough call. But please call on the Holy Spirit. Address him directly and say, please help. And he will help. I'll end here. But before I go, Hannah's going to put the whole of Isaiah 54. Please take a moment, take a couple of minutes. Please read this. And where it says barren woman or Israel, put your name. Say Dedo or Josephine or whatever your name is. So put your name there and read it and see how you feel about it. And if there's anything you want to take to God in prayer, please do. And if you feel comfortable, will you turn to your neighbor or someone and ask them to pray with you? If at the end you really want some more prayer, there'll be people to pray with you. And I've got all this bookmarks. Thank God for St. Matthew's Church. This was only done yesterday. On forgiveness, the subject of forgiveness. So please take 1, 2, 3, 4, however many you want. And when the old angry unforgiveness comes creeping, please read it. Father, thank you for this morning, and thank you for your forgiving grace. And I just pray that you will help us to know that you love us and that you forgive us our sins. And I pray that you will, Holy Spirit, you will come and you equip all of us. You will help us to forgive ourselves and others. In your name I pray. Amen.